when I was trying to plan this week, I was going all over the place in my head trying to figure out how do you speak in this kind of setting. Some are on their fourth cup of coffee already and obviously need another one. And the kids are wound up and all of that kind of stuff. And I started to think about a sermon I heard just a little while ago. I don't know if you were in church. Greg was talking about creation. And as I started to think about that, I started to think about how actually we are in creation here. That's the whole point of camping out and being together and all of that out here. Creation is really, really important to me. And so I started going on that theme, and I started a sermon, and it had 10 points, so I thought I'd throw that out. And then I had another sermon, and I threw that out. And I want to actually just take you and give you a simple thought today. But I want to start with where kind of the Lord took me. Some of you need to be visual. There's no PowerPoint, and I know you feel crippled right now, but this is what I want to show you a picture of. I was going through, and just by accident, I came across a picture of a humpbacked whale. I don't know if you can picture a humpbacked whale. Humpbacked whale is one of the biggest mammals in our world. It's not the biggest whale, but it's in the top four. And this picture was here of this humpbacked whale, and it was literally jumping out of the water and then coming back into the water in this massive splash and all of that. Now, if you just look at that, you think, well, oh, that's all right. But as you start to listen to the various facts about a humpbacked whale, it's actually quite an amazing thing. Well, let me give you some background to a humpback whale that you have so that you can picture a little bit. First of all, a humpback whale is never born alone. Whenever a calf humpback whale needs to have a calf, the whale is born and it comes out tail first. Remember, we go the opposite. This comes out tail first, and there's always another humpback whale waiting for it, so that as soon as it comes out, it's pushed to the top right away to get air, because it needs to breathe, right? And then it starts to grow. Now, a humpback whale grows exponentially every day as it eats and eats and eats. But let me give you a sense of its size. The average humpback whale is about 50 feet long. With every foot of growth, you add a ton of weight. So if it's 50 feet long, you have a 50-ton whale. On top of that, there's crustaceans and all these kind of things, if you've looked at these whales, that kind of come and join them on their back. You know, you look at it, it's like the bottom of a ship, and you see all these little things. And when you start to gather them all together, scientists say that humpback whale is not only carrying its own weight, 40 to 50 tons, it is literally carrying all of this stuff, and this plankton can weigh up to 1,000 pounds. So there's a huge amount of weight. And I get this curiosity thing, and I started saying, so how much does it have to eat? Like, it must eat killer whales or something every day to feed it. So it's 40 to 50 tons of, how does it? And actually it doesn't. It will eat fish here and there, but its major diet is a thing called krill, K-R-I-L-L. Krill is about the size of a paperclip. It's like a shrimp. And that whale has to eat those shrimp every day. It eats up to 3,000 pounds of krill a day. Can you imagine the work of doing that? But here is this whale, and by the way, they live up to 80 years old. And so here's this 50-foot whale. It's 50 tons in weight, and it gets this energy, and it literally shoots out of the water and physically is completely out of the water before it hits the water again. Can you imagine the energy and the power of just a single whale to be able to do that? Now, let me contrast. So I'm reading about this, and I'm kind of awed, and I thought I'd just go for a walk. So I walk outside my house, and if you've seen our house, Lois has flowers all over the place. And I'm walking out, and there I just barely get outside, and I look at her flowers, and there's a hummingbird. Now, talk about the opposite end, right? A hummingbird is really, really small. And I look at this hummingbird, and I start to ask myself questions about the hummingbird. Do you know the hummingbird's wings, you know, it's flapping? It does 50 to 70 beats a second. Not a minute, a second. It's the only bird that will go forward, backwards, and hover. It can travel at 50 miles an hour. That's huge. But it has a problem. It has no taste buds. Isn't that weird? And so I'm sitting here thinking, look at this massive whale and how God has designed it and made it. And then there's this wee little thing. It's almost, in your mind and my mind, it's almost insignificant. It's so small. It's here and it's gone. And yet God designed it uniquely. Several weeks ago when Greg was preaching to us, he was talking about creation. I was reading a book this week, and the author of the book said, the first line of a story, the first line of a book is always most important. What's the first line? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so I was dwelling on that. I was thinking about this massive whale and this wee little bird, And I'm thinking about God created them so uniquely and specially. If you go through chapter 1 of Genesis, there's another word that's going to pop out at you. It's the word good. 7 times God created this and said, yeah, that's good. And then he created this and he says, that's good. At the very end, he says, look at all this. This is really good. This is very good. Now, when you look up that word good in Hebrew, it's not just, you know, the Canadian, well, that's good. It's this is amazing. This is magnificent. This is wonderful. This is wow. Kind of word is what he's saying. And God looks at his creation and says, wow, look at all of this. For instance, some of you are bored already and you're looking around. Tell me how many types of green God created. Did you notice this? It's not God created green. No, he created all the shades and textures and types of green all around us. And that's just green. And then there's gray, and then there's blue, and then there's yellow, and then there's... And it just keeps going on. Have you ever sat back and looked at what God has made? Most of you know I grew up in the mountains. I grew up in Grand Cache, and literally, we would walk out our front door, and literally beside me on this side was Grand Cache Mountain, and we could climb a mountain that day. Just walk out the backyard, climb the mountain. Or I could walk this way, and I could walk into deep, thick bush, you know, that kind of thick bush that there's only paths and there's green moss all over the place and there's animals all over. And I would go into that bush and I would just sit there and watch and see. I have this belief, and it's my belief, but I have this belief that there's something in us that needs to return to nature every once in a while to get perspective again. To get a sense of who God is and what he has done and his wonder. Because if he's made this massive whale and he's made this incredible hummingbird, he also made you. He designed you. And if they're specially made, you're even more specially made. Because you have inside you something they don't have. You have the living image of God inside of you. And so I started to work through this, and I started to think about this. And I came across a phrase that honestly I'm not sure I've ever come across. Well, one of the authors I was reading started to talk about how the that we have to see what God created as art. Now I'm of a generation that the creationism debate started to happen in. So whenever I go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, or read Psalm 104, which is another creation, if any of those things, you know what I start to think about? I start to think about creation and science. Creation and creationism. And the debate and all of that kind of stuff, and we could go on for hours on that. But sometimes I need to put that aside, and I need to stop, and I need to say, I need to see God's creation as art. For instance, why didn't he make a world that's black and white? Why do we need color? Why do we need all these shades and textures of green? And some of it changes. I was reading this week that some of these trees, literally the green on them changes depending on how much light is on them. And so God just created this fabulous world with all of its shades and all of its textures and all of its wonders. Why? For your blessing and your joy. For your benefit. To show how creative he is and how wondrous he is. And that leads us in a direction to not only is he wonderful, he is a designer. He is a creator. He is the one who has creativity coming out of all of his pores. It's like everything he does, it's just different. It's creative. It's new. It's wonderful. And you wonder all of the time that he took to design certain things for us. I was looking at a mountain goat. And they were describing the mountain goat, and I don't know if you know the mountain goat's foot, but it's designed in such a way so that it has to hold on as it climbs these cliffs. It has to hold on. It literally will spread depending on where it's standing. It will come together so it can hold on this little ledge and just hold on tight, and it can be on this cliff and holding on tight. And then on the next step, the hoof will widen so that it has a more solid foundation. And then they say the bottom of the hoof has actually a kind of almost a Teflon underneath it, or a thing that it doesn't skid at all. So if it gets its hoof on something, it won't slip off. And I'm thinking, if he made that, look at all the things he's made. God is an artist. God is the one who has created things in our lives. Listen to some of these scriptures. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of God. You ever looked up? You ever looked up at night? It's interesting because our evolutionary people will look up and say, it's chaos up there. And as we look, we will see designs. They are saying that there are a billion trillion stars out there. I don't know about you, but I can't count that high. A billion trillion. And as they've been studying, they've started to reckon that our solar systems and space is continues to expand. It continues to get bigger. And we start to see how wonderful and not only a designer, but how mighty and powerful he is. Listen to this verse. O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out your arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Those are the words of Jeremiah. So if our God is creative and a designer and has all power and can do all that he wants, there's nothing that's too hard for him. I need to remind myself of that. Sometimes I need to come out and sit in the trees and the grass, and I need to say, look at what he's done. Now look at my problem. Look at my issue. Or look at my struggle. There is nothing too hard for my God. There is nothing too hard for my God. And so this morning, I want to leave you with a little bit of awe at who your God is. And what he's done. And if he can do this, what can he do in you? What can he do for you? What can he do with you? Now, we could go into a whole other discussion, because even as you start to look at this story, not only has he created it, but he's entrusted to us to be stewards of it. That we are to take care of this. We are managers. We've been given dominion over it to take care of it. And we could go into that, but I want to just pause and leave you here. Look at who he is by what he has done. Look at who he is through his creation. And then recognize, if he can do this, what can he do through you and for you and with you? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one here. And I'd ask that you'd encourage them with these words. You are a great God. You are a creative God. You are the greatest of artists. You have mixed and matched colors and design and texture and depth and richness. And you can do all of these things just for our pleasure. And so for your purpose, you will do even more. And I pray that you would bring our struggles and our joys and our longings to you. And that you will help us to realize your power and your might. I'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.